This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
There are many ideas today about what happens to a person when they die. Some have thought that upon death, your soul departs from the body to make its way into the afterlife, whether it be to paradise or torment, purgatory, or to return reincarnated in another life form. But can this be true? Interestingly enough, your Bible explains death in a much different fashion. Curiously, death is viewed as a moment in time when an individual is simply in a state of pause, like that of deep sleep. Actually, Jesus himself characterized it just that way, as sleep. Stay with us as we explore this definition right from the pages of your Bible.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hello, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What I want to talk about is something that we've probably all thought about at some point in our life, death. Now I know that may be a downer for some of us, but what about death? What happens when you die? There are a lot of different ideas out there in the world as to what happens at death. There are some people that believe that you live on immediately at death. When I was a kid, I can remember believing that if I was judged correctly, that I would be in heaven with God. My mother told me about my grandparents who were in heaven looking down upon me, and this is something that my church taught. There are others who believe that if you're not a good person, that you will go to a fiery pit. Some call it hell. There are others within Christianity who talk about an intermediate state. Some call it purgatory. There's a phrase out there called limbo. There are various ideas as to where people go at death. When you look at other religions, let's take Hinduism as an example. In Hinduism, they believe that you can be reincarnated, that until you reach the final ultimate state and become one with God, that you are reincarnated a series of times depending upon how your life went. If you led a good life, karma would give you a better life. For example, you may have been some sort of an animal, but if you were a good animal, you can move to a higher form of life. But if you lived a bad life, you could go to a lower form of life in the next life. Now, when you think about these various ideas and conceptions, I get why people have so many different ideas, but what I want to focus on today, what we do here at the Church of God International, at the Armor of God, is we focus on what the Bible says about these various issues, and that will be the focus of today's program. We'll look at what the Bible says occurs at death, and I believe the Bible is very clear as to what occurs at death. And we'll talk a little bit about why some of these other ideas may have gotten into Christianity, where they may have originated from and come from as we go through our discussion today. We'll be spending some time in the Old Testament. We'll be spending some time in the New Testament. And I believe that both Testaments tell you the same thing. There are some Christians out there who tell you the Old Testament says something different about death as opposed to the New Testament. I do not believe that, and I hope to give you at least some evidence today that that is the case, that both Testaments speak the same thing about this subject of death. When you think about death, some people think there is no hope, but the Bible makes it clear that there is hope in death, if you come to believe and follow Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we'll talk a little bit about that, about the possibility, the fact that there is a resurrection for all people. All people will take part in a resurrection, whether it occurs at Christ's second coming or whether it occurs 1,000 years later. A resurrection will occur for the dead, and we'll get a little bit into that particular topic as we move through today's program. So once again, the topic today is death, then what? What comes after that? Thanks for joining us. Before we go any further, what I'd like to do is offer you some free literature, and I also want to offer you a free full-length sermon CD on today's program. Now, the booklet that we'd like to offer you today is titled Afraid to Die. Afraid to Die. Nothing is surer than death and taxes, goes the old adage. But for all its familiarity, thousands die daily, and all of us have experienced the loss of loved ones. Death remains a dreaded enemy, not a friend. What is death? What happens when you die? Do you have an immortal soul that goes either to an ever-burning hell or up to heaven? It's time you saw the Bible answer. Please get Afraid to Die. I also want to offer you a free, full-length sermon CD. The title of this CD is Immortality, and it's by one of the elders in the Church of God International, Mr. Tony Bukert. Get this CD and understand where this concept of immortality comes from. There are many who believe they have an immortal soul inside of them that goes away from their body when it dies and lives on immediately at death. Is that true? Does the Bible say that? Get Immortality to learn more about this interesting subject. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free, 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Once again, I want to thank all of you for joining us on today's program. The title of our topic today is Death, Then What? And we talked at the top of today's program, for those of you just joining us, about different ideas as to what happens when you die. We definitely believe that everybody has thought about death at one time or another, but what really happens when you die? Do you immediately live on in some type of an awareness, some spiritual awareness? Does your body have some type of immortal soul that goes either to heaven or to hell to live on? Are you reincarnated, as the Hindus believe? Or as some Buddhists believe, do you just become part of nature in some ethereal sense, depending upon what particular brand of Buddhism you believe? There are all kinds of different ideas out there about what happens at death. But what we do here at the Armor of God is we focus on biblical answers. We go to the Bible as our source of what truth is. We believe this is God's Word, and we believe that is the best place to go to try to find answers to questions like what happens when you die. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a look at our Bible. We're going to start in the Old Testament and see what we can find about this subject of what happens when you die. Now, to begin with, I'd like you, if you have your Bibles handy, to turn with me over to the book of Ecclesiastes. And we believe that King Solomon wrote this particular book. And King Solomon was called one of the wisest men who ever lived. And when you read what's in here, we need to give it some respect. Need to give it some understanding. And I'm going to turn in my Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'm going to pick it up there in verse 19. Let's see what the king had to say about this subject of death. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Now that might seem a little funny to some of you. What's he saying here? He's saying as man dies, so dies animal. So dies the animal. That what happens to them is the same. Now, I don't know of any animals that got to heaven. I don't know of any animals that are in hell. That conception was never brought to my mind by anyone. What he's saying here is in death, men don't have any preeminence over animals. Notice, as I read further in verse 19, even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man has no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Verse 20, all go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Now that's pretty emphatic. All go to one place, all go to the dust. Now he says rhetorically in verse 21, some people are going to argue with me, what about verse 21? Let's read it. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Now he's asking that as a rhetorical question in verse 21. He's stating the fact in verse 19 and 20 and saying, hey, who knows that a man goes somewhere else other than where a beast goes? He's saying that doesn't happen. Man and beast go to the same place, the dust of the ground. Now notice further in this same book, just to give you some more proof from the same writer, if you have doubt about what he was saying here, turn with me over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and I'm going to pick it up there in verse 5. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Now that's a pretty emphatic, plain statement. The dead know not anything. They're unconscious. They're asleep. And throughout your Bible, from beginning to end, death is likened to sleep over and over and over. Read through 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. When a king of Israel died, it says he went and slept with his fathers. He went and slept with his fathers. Folks, if these people aren't asleep and unconscious, why is it saying they are asleep? We know what sleep is. We all do it every day, hopefully. And there are times when I'm asleep and I am totally oblivious and unaware of anything. Yes, you can argue about dreams, but here's the deal. When you're sleeping, you're not moving. You're staying right there, are you not? And it says, when the animals and man go into death, they go into the dust. That is where they are. There were no statements there about a man being aware and conscious in death. The Bible is pretty plain, especially here. Now, if you're wondering if this is news to you, let me turn you back to the book of Genesis. This idea that man has an immortal soul comes from pagan religion. It comes from Greek philosophy. And I just want to bring this point home. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 3, listen to this. The woman Eve is speaking to the serpent in the garden. I'm going to pick it up in Genesis 3 verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So God said, hey, you guys are going to die if you eat of this tree. And so what does the serpent say? Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. That is the beginning of the lie. That is where it started. And this liar, Satan the devil, yeah, we believe in him too. We believe in this spiritual entity known as Satan the devil. This spiritual entity has influenced false religion in this world to move away from the truth of God's Bible. And one of those lies is that when you die, you continue to live on. That's a lie that's in Hinduism. That's a lie that is in some segments, large segments of Christianity, that immediately at death you are alive and aware and conscious. That's not what your Bible teaches. Take a look at this over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2 and 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Remember what we read from Solomon. See how this all ties together. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. But here's the deal. That breath of life is also in animals. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It doesn't say he became an immortal soul. It says he became a living soul. And that word soul is nephesh in Hebrew. And that word nephesh is found in your Old Testament in other places in reference to things that are dead sometimes. In reference to animal life. What is the definition of nephesh? The definition of nephesh is body, life, soul. Those are various words that can be used for this word, nephesh, in the Hebrew. Soul, body, being, life. These are all synonymous terms that are used to translate nephesh in the Old Testament. But none of the words that are used to translate nephesh have any connotations of immortality involved with them. Check this scripture out in Numbers chapter 19 and 11. The word nephesh is used there also. And notice what it says there in the usage of nephesh. Numbers 19 and verse 11. He that touches the dead body, the word body there, I said that was one of the words you could translate nephesh into, the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. Folks, nephesh can be something that is dead. This soul that we have in us, this life force that God has given us, it is something that can be dead. And the Bible makes it clear that only when God decides to resurrect you, and He will resurrect us, there is hope, okay? It's not all about death, okay? There is hope in a resurrection, a future resurrection that hasn't occurred yet for anybody except Jesus Christ and some people that were raised from the dead in the Bible. But that's what we're looking forward to, the resurrection. Not death right now to be with the Lord. We aren't going to be with the Lord right now if we died right now. We would be asleep and we'd be sleeping in the dust of the ground. That's what your Bible says. Now there's a lot more we can get into here, but we're on a half-hour program, so let me move into some other facts as to how this concept of immortality got into the Christian church. I'm going to read you a quote from the Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 6. This is on pages 564 and 566. The belief in the immortality of the soul came to the Jews. Okay, remember, came to the Jews because we've been reading from the Old Testament. The Jews wrote the Old Testament. They had a concept that at death you slept. There was no concept of going anywhere at death. Not going to heaven, not going into hell and into some burning pit. That wasn't there. So this idea of the immortality of the soul came to the Jews, and the Jewish Encyclopedia is a very worthy source to go to. The belief in the immortality of the soul came to the Jews from contact with Greek thought and chiefly through the philosophy of Plato, its principal exponent, who was led to it through Orphic and Eleusinian mysteries in which Babylonian and Egyptian views were strangely blended. Now there's a lot in there. Let me unpack that a little bit for you. Plato was a famous Greek philosopher. We've all probably heard of him. But here's something you may not know. There is no book of Plato in your Bible. Okay? There is no book of Plato in your Bible. Now here's the deal. When it says that Plato was a principal exponent of this idea within his philosophy, it said he was led to this idea from Orphic and Eleusinian mysteries. Now the Eleusinian mysteries were Greek ancient religion that talked about living on after death. The Orphic mystery was a myth within Greek society about this fellow that went down into the underworld and learned some things. So Plato had these ideas in his head from his Greek culture. And those ideas came to Greek culture from previous cultures, the Egyptian culture, the Babylonian culture, which passed on these false ideas to the Greek culture. And then the Greek culture, of course, expanded in the Roman Empire. Of course, Alexander the Great took over most of the known world. Then the Romans took over from him. But the thoughts and the beliefs and the philosophies that were extant during the Hellenistic period, around 300 BC to 300 AD, those permeated the Christian world as it began. These ideas of Plato, these philosophies, got into some of the thinking of the early Christian leaders and apologists. That's how some of these ideas got into the Christian church. But you can't find them in the Bible. They're not there. You can find some scriptures that are difficult to understand, but they can be explained. But the most significant scriptures are very plain on what happens when we die. Let me read you a quote from Plato. "Do we believe there is such a thing as death? To be sure. And is this anything but the separation of the soul from the body?" Plato definitely believed in the separation of the soul from the body, but you won't find a quote like that in your Bible. There's no book of Plato in your Bible. And we need to understand this history to help us understand what we're reading in the pages of our Bible. Now, we've dealt a little bit with the Old Testament. We don't have time to get into all the details. Please get that literature I was talking about. Get some of those CDs we offer on this subject. But I want to go into the New Testament and see if there's a different story there. Because some Christians think that the New Testament is telling us a different story. But it is not. It is a solid, continuous progression. It is the same story from Genesis to Revelation. I'd like you to turn with me, if you could, to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Probably the most famous scripture in the Bible. I remember as a kid seeing Rainbow holding up John 3:16 when you looked in on the batter's box at a World Series. The guy with the rainbow hair, John 3:16. Everybody's aware of this scripture. Look at what it says. Listen to what it does not say also. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let me repeat that. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, perishing and everlasting life are two extremes on a spectrum or on a continuum. Perishing and everlasting life are two different concepts. It does not say here that you should not go into hell and burn forever, or you should not be separated from God forever and have everlasting life. It's saying perishing versus everlasting life. Yes, we can live forever. We can attain to immortality, but that's a gift that God gives us, and we don't have that inherently as a part of us. Only God is immortal. The Bible says that. The Bible makes it specific that man is mortal. Man will die unless God brings him back to life. Over and over, the Bible makes that case. And here we see in the most famous scripture, it's saying that same thing. You're either going to die and it's going to be the end of you. Now, it could be a fiery death. The Bible does talk about that. But it says in Malachi 3, the wicked will be ashes under our feet. It doesn't say they're living on in some hell forever and ever. Another scripture, Romans 6:23, New Testament. I'm in the New Testament. Romans 6:23. You don't like the word perish? How about this word? Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death." Death. "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There it is again. You can't get more extreme than death or eternal life. It's not saying that you go into a life in a hell, in a separation from God, in some limbo state. It's saying death. Death is the cessation of life. How does the Bible explain death? We looked at it in Ecclesiastes, okay? We go to the dust of the ground. We have no consciousness. Take a look at Psalm 6:5 also. There's no awareness in death. And that will be the final outcome of people who don't get the message of God and begin to follow it. This is what we're talking about here. This is a big deal. We want you to understand what the Bible is really saying about death. Now, I talked a little bit about a resurrection. I don't have time to read all of this, but I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to read that entire chapter. And you will find in there all about the resurrection and when it occurs. It occurs at Christ's second coming. Not until then. And those who believe in Christ will rise and meet Him in the air and come back down to this earth. Those who don't believe in Christ, our Hindu friends, our Buddhist friends, they will come up in another resurrection at the end of 1,000 years. That is spoken to you in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 5. And that is for another program. But they will have an opportunity to understand God's truth. And I believe most of them will seize upon that opportunity. Now, in my remaining moments, I want you to get that literature we talked about today. Please get the booklet, Afraid to Die. It will give you the details that I haven't been able to give you on today's program. I also want you to get that free CD titled Immortality by Tony Bukert. Please get those items. It will fill in some of the gaps that I've provided on today's program. Now, what I want you to do is call this number, toll free, 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or go to the web, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can order in each of those locations, whatever your preference is. Got a few seconds left here, and again, I know this may sound like news to you, what we've talked about today, and it was for me at one point in my life. I was shocked to learn that the Bible was not saying what I was hearing about in the church that I was attending. It was shocking to me, but I continued to look into it, and I came to the conclusion that the Bible is the truth, and I'm going to follow this, rather than what tradition or influential people in my life would say. You need to make that same decision. We are going to die, and we need to figure out how to live on after that death. The Bible has the answer. I want you to read your Bible and get that answer. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of the Armor of God. So long for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.